That reminds me, Jesus did say that to his mom and them. They were waiting, and they lost Jesus. About 12 years old, they'd lost him. Where is he? He wasn't with anybody in the caravan or any of that. And they go back and they find him. He'd been in the temple. And he simply said this, "Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" Now, that's a good one, Mom and Dad. So Jesus would let them know, "Love you, Mary, love you, Joseph, but had to be about my Father's business." And then, as the story of Jesus continues, he ends up on a cross. And on that cross, he finally told the closing, "Father, it is finished." He had his Father's business to take care of. But see, it was a sign to him, just like to you. You're about your Father's business, but your business is different from what Jesus's was. Only Jesus was born to die. We were born to live. Jesus came to earth to die for us. His Father gave him that business to take care of. And no one could kill him. He told them that. "No man takes my life. I lay it down." That was his business. And he was going to complete it. Because in the completion of his business, he saw each one of us. Yes, he did. A God that knows you before time or creation even begins, and you think that he wouldn't know your name, and you think that he would leave you unprotected. When he said, "I'm creating everything in this world is created for my people. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Do you believe it? Sure, believe it. I believe every word that's written in God's Word. Amen. Well, what about man, and what did they do to God's Word? Man doesn't do anything to God's Word. Man doesn't build it up. Only thing man can do is preach it like it is. Tell my story, Larry. I don't have to make up stories about Jesus. All I have to do is to understand that I have right here a book of authority. Amen. Every word is suitable for preaching, teaching, correcting. That Bible will straighten you out in a heartbeat. This when you think you know it all and you read a scripture and find out you don't know anything. You'll find out you're not as smart as you think you are. Amen. And God says, "I give you the freedom." Again, no army can do this. God says, "I give you the freedom, Larry, to choose me or not to choose me. It's your choice. But I'll encourage you to make the right choice. And as you give your heart to me, Larry, I promise you, I give my authority to you." So I learned young in my ministry. I used to be young in my ministry, that every word that God has given me is still standing. God's love for me is still solid. I look at myself and I think, "Man, I messed that up. Man, I messed that up. How many prayers, Lord, forgive me for my foolishness." Amen. And I'll hear that still small voice, "I love you, Larry." Never heard God say anything to me except, "I love you." Even through my hardest times, the times of brokenness, you hear the voice. Read His Word. You'll hear a lot of them. But God said, "I want you to take my word now, and not only to apply it to your life, but you let everybody know there's authority in my word. When God speaks, the world shakes." You know, the smartest one in the room when God speaks is Satan. How do I know that? He gets out. Satan may be the first one at church, but he's also the first one to leave. Because when God's word is spoken, because of the authority of God's word, not the one speaking it, God's word, Satan knows, I lost this one. And that's what he wants us to understand in our everyday living. He didn't love you just today to not love you tomorrow. He didn't save you for just today. He saved you for a job He sent you here to do, to get about your Father's business and stand strong for who He is. Let me tell you about God's Word. God's Word is the only source. Now listen to it. God's Word is the only source that will never lie to you. Now, do you really think that my mom or dad may have lied to me? I don't think it. I know they did. I know that they pulled you under the arm and said, "You're such a lovable kid." And they knew they was lying right at the time they were saying it. But because they had so much love for you, they wanted you to know that. God's word won't lie. It's the truth. That's why it hurts. Did you ever have hear somebody make a statement to the preacher, "You walked all over my feet today"? No, I didn't. I preached the word of God, and God walked all over your feet today. But it's the only word that you'll get that's fully true. And it hurts. Hurts a lot of times. Truth does hurt. Hebrews 6, verse 18. God has given us both, think of this, His promise and His oath. Well, a promise is a commitment. Oh, I promise you, I'll do this. I promise you, I'll do that. That's a commitment that you're making. An oath involves God in a promise. An oath is a solemn promise, meaning God's involved with the oath. Take an oath of office in the presence of God. God has given us both His promise, it's His commitment, and His oath, meaning He's going to be involved in your life. Not just going to say, you get out and do it, I will be with you as you do it. These two things are unchangeable. You believe that word. They're unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. I never did like hearing anybody say that anything God does is impossible. Or can God do it? No, it's impossible for anyone to do it. But God made it impossible. The only standards that God deals with is His. He sets himself to that standard. When I speak, there will be no lie. So God set the standard. It is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can take new courage, for we can hold on to his promise with confidence. When God promises, it's his oath. Meaning, this promise I'm giving you, I'm with it. I'll always be with you. I'm never going to leave you. I'll not forsake you. I'll always be with you. I promise you, you're going to do just fine. Trust me. His word is the most honest word you'll find in your life. Because God just tells you the way he sees it. Now, if you have friends that tell you, well, this is how I see things, stop them right there and let them know something. The only thing that really interests you is how God sees things, not someone else. Because God sees it from the eyes of holiness. Others see it through the eyes of ridicule. Here's your problem. I've been told what my problem was ever since I can remember. And it took me a while to realize that most of the problems that I really had was with the people telling me what my problem was. Do you ever find yourself that way? So God says, though, trust my word. It's authority. The authority. Oh, you mean the authority in this life? No! The authority for creation itself. When God said, let it be, it was. God didn't have to say a word to me when he saved me as a kid, as that child, young kid. I knew Jesus saved my soul. But then I realized the most foolish thing about churches and people. I read nothing in the book that said I had to be voted on to become a Christian. Amen. Didn't see it. I got to this church and it was in the rule book. Well, God looks deeper than even his book. This is the rule book for our life. This is the book of authority. This is the book of power. Book of holiness. The book that won't mislead you. And the reason you quit reading it is because you didn't like what you read. And if you didn't like what you read, read it again. Because you just may find somewhere in those sentences why you didn't like it. Well, that's me. Oh, my goodness. I thought he's talking about Randy. I didn't know he's talking about me. So God says, you have the authority. Also, Christian, Christian? I know the answer to this. After becoming a Christian, did you ever have a real bad case of the stupids? Huh? I mean, you look at yourself in a mirror and say, man, I'm a dumb. God says this to us in his word. He said, I want you to know something, Larry. And during your cases of the stupids in life, you have the authority to return to me based on my promise, my word. Listen, James 4:8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. I'm not supposed to do that. I read it in a rule book of God. but I did it. That's a double-minded individual. Listen, I'll just do it this way, which is easy for most of you who know me to understand. Do not, under any circumstances, set peanut butter fudge on my desk and say, don't eat it. Because you know what that peanut butter fudge is going to do to you. It's full of all manner of bad stuff. Don't eat it. I may look at you and say, okay, I don't mean it. Because as soon as you turn your head, that peanut butter fudge is gone. That's the way we are in life. Amen. And God says, Larry, you can come back to me. Now, God never told me not to eat the fudge. You can come back to me. No matter what you've done, how far you've strayed, you belong to me. You're my child forever. Come home. Come home. Well, that sounds like an invitation, doesn't it? Come on home, Larry. Your authority to return to the Lord. And all he does is warn you. You don't want to get in this trouble again? Don't be double-minded. You're looking at it. What is it? You're looking at it. You know good and well, for you, that is sin. It might not be sin for somebody else. That's another sermon. But for you, it is. Don't be double-minded. Well, sorry, Randy. If Randy can do it, I can do it. Yeah. No. No, that's not the way permission is given. So God says, I know it's going to happen. Come back home, though. And then in life, normally later in the years, we start catching on. We start realizing, wait a minute, I'm going to save myself a whole lot of heartbreak and a whole lot of trouble if I just do it right to begin with. You know, if I stay out of that ditch of life right there, nobody has to come to get me out. My conscience is going to feel a lot better. And I'm going to have peace and a smile on my face knowing finally I did what God told me to. And I didn't do what he told me not to do. Now, you won't have many days like that because of the human condition. Next, you have the authority to be victorious through God. How many times over the years? Brother Larry, I can't. Every time I try to do it right, I get it wrong. So what do you do? I just tried. Quit trying. I had a professor that let me know, Brother Vance, to try is to fail. And I've told you all before, that was before Star Wars came out. God says you do what I call you to do. For it is me doing it through you. Listen to me, Christian. You want to make it in this life? Walk with God. Amen. You want to know the direction to go? Read his rule book. That tells you what to do and not to do. You want to save a lot of heartbreak for you and your family? Read the book. It's written for you. And it gives you authority. I have the authority to say no, to turn and walk away. No, I don't have to eat the peanut butter fudge. I choose to eat it. My watch says I'm getting too excited, so I'll take my watch off and get excited. Number three, your authority to be victorious through God. I'm sorry, folks, it's calling 911. Man, you know, I don't think they sell these things to... Got your gun, Jay?
They don't.
Your authority to be victorious through God. Commit your way, Psalm 37:5, to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Who brings it to pass? Jesus. God does. God said, trust me and I'll take care of it. I am sorry. Take his thing, somebody. Thank you, Jesse. Let them know if they get here, I'm not dying. So God says, as He looks at us, I have something important to tell you. Larry, I love you like you are. Ah, I like that. He loves me like I am. Well, don't you remember something, though? I told you at the beginning, He knew you before you became who you am. He knew you before. That drives you crazy, don't it? God looks to who we are, but you know, as He's looking to us, He looks to us as to who we can help. God has your life picked out to help someone else's life. God has that special personality of yours picked out just to help someone that has a completely opposite personality. And you need to understand, as Jesus did, don't you know, I need to be about my Father's business. You do, because God created you for His business. He created you to love you, but He created you to share that love with others that you don't think are so lovable.
Amen.
Do you know, you'll have people in this world, I know this will really blow your mind, you're going to have some people that don't like you. Yeah. Yeah. And they probably have a good reason on some of it. But you're going to have that in your life. But understand this. God loves you. He loves your personality. He loves you for who you are. And He's the one that created you. But look at all my flaws. I don't need to look at them. God saw them. And He let you be born anyway. Do you know that Jesus died on that cross for every one of us, knowing that we were going to sin after we said, yes, I believe, that we were going to mess up? Knowing that I was going to mess up, Jesus could have said, no, not for Larry. He's going to blow it. But He didn't.
Amen.
He died for me anyway. He died for me just like I am. But the good part, Larry, I'll spend your lifetime with you making sure you don't have to stay that way. It's the freedom that I give you. It's the authority in my word that I give you. Take my authority. Live your life in peace. And when you mess up, come on back home. Don't you remember the prodigal story? Can't you just picture all of that? You know good and well that Mom always left a light on for you to come back. Did you think that she's always looking for you to come over the ridge, come on down to the house? Day after day and time after time, she'd look. The kid didn't show up. Then one day, she walks out. The son, sorry for all that he had done. And she looks at the ridge, and she sees a silhouette. Well, that's my boy. I know that walk. I know that silhouette. Dad, Dad, son's home. And Jesus is telling the story. And Jesus put it this way. No Hebrew leader would ever run. They had people do that for him. They would not get that excited. But a father would. Love gets that excited. Amen. Dad, it's him, look! I know that figure anywhere. Son is home. And Jesus says, and the father threw off his coat. That doesn't happen in that tradition. And took off running straight towards his son. And he gets to his son. His son is trying to apologize for saying all the bad things to his dad he had said, and about being home, and about all you know and really love me, and all the garbage that was put out. Dad didn't hear a word. Dad turned to his servant and said, kill the fatty calf. We're having a party.
Amen.
My son, who was lost, is found. He's come home. He never heard any word that his son was saying, for his coming home said it all. He turned around. That's all the Word of God tells us, folks. Turn around. You can come home. All the stop signs in our life, the red flags are there. Don't go in this direction. Money can't save you. Now, people say, yeah, but it can make you live awful good. No, it don't. Talk to some of those people who have it. They'll let you know all they worry about is somebody's trying to take it. Amen. You give it away. Because you got something more powerful than you can imagine. You have the love of a Christ who knew you before you were created, and he even loves you afterwards and says, when you messed it up, come on back to me. I'm always here. That's the Word of God, and it doesn't get better than the Word of God. Sorry about the watch. If our ambulance is out there, I just might go crawl into it and see what I like. Brother Randy, I'm going to pray now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings, the joy of salvation, for touching our life. Give us courage now, Father, for each moment of a life that you've blessed us with. Let your will be done within us, Father. Let it be you that people see in us. For we ask and beg it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.